Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Raina Starr, so you don't have to be. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, if bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might upset you, this is not the show for you. But you know this bullshit. That's why you tune in. That's why we're all fucking here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the incredibly wicked one herself, the amazing Dorothy Morrison. Check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com. For all, yes, yay for Dorothy!
Yay!
Yay! Dorothy Morrison! Utterly Wicked, one of the best hexing books ever written by anyone, anywhere, at any time. We are live on the pre-show for Mystic South. We are at the fantastic Crown Plaza Atlanta Perimeter at Ravinia, 4355 Ashford Dunwoody, Northeast, in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. We are here July 14th through the 16th, so come and see us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. With me, as always, my ride or die, the amazing Dr. Deborah Burrows. Hi!
Yay, thank you.
Yes.
Hi, y'all.
And her person.
A person, Joel Green.
Yay! And our first guest for the show. The wonderful, delightful, beautiful, and very smart, Daniela Cinema. How are you, my friend?
Hello. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yay. So, Daniela, we have a full schedule at Mystic South. So we are happy to see you. We know you've got books written, more books coming up. Let's get everybody caught up. So talk about the first book, the second book, and the third book.
Okay. So three books in 2 years.
Wow.
It's been a progression, but you know, in writing them, I wouldn't say it was really effort. The effort was before to contain them from coming out, pouring themselves on. So first book was this idea of a comparative study between Irish and Romanian study lore, from the Lord and folklore that I actually grew up with, and then from experiences that I had growing up with a grandmother who was a Pharisee. First-hand exposure to this lore and folklore, and later on coming about the Irish by the beauty, both by the synergy and the existing bodies of lore.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't resist temptation to put it in writing. This is a book that actually I wish I had when I was the Irish, the Romanian, I was pretty familiar with.
Yeah.
But in having them side by side, I realized how information complement one another, one side complements another, and this I found is very valuable practical sense. To me, the purpose of a parallel study is not just paint everything with super wide brush and like, oh, all studies are the same everywhere, call them by different names,
right?
Because that's not the same. Rather, there are similarities, but identity. So, since practices around fairy witchcraft, around fairy magic, fairy lore, they're so old, we don't have complete, and mostly these were oral traditions then trying to sometimes close friends or master to master, one person to an apprentice or within family. So I don't really have written documents about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that when you have two bodies of folklore and that are so close and mirror themselves in fact, you can, as a practitioner, adapt to the without distorting, without the fear of that you are appropriating, or without the fear that you're going to unseeming or outrageously distorted. That's an easy way to kind of translate from one language into another. So that's and it's the first ever study.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question about that. It seems like a lot is written about Irish fairy folklore. Why has that been so popular and not other forms as popular? Because all I'd ever heard about was Irish fairy folklore. Never anything about Romanian or anybody else's for that matter. Why has that been so?
I think that there are several reasons for that. When the big population heard from Ireland, number of some point, like one third or something in portion of around this United States. And lore and folklore and tradition travel with people. That's what we have to our heart, and we take it with us wherever we go. So I believe that's part of it. So people coming here, they still cultivate it. So their children, their grandchildren, at least to some degree, they still got the exposure. Then I think we have both the service and the disservice of information very fast done, and different kind of images of fairy and fairy beings spreading rapidly. And Irish, definitely. I mean, I'm just in love with Irish, with culture, with back there. So it's fascinatingly beautiful and kind of irresistible for the media, as I said, not to take and show to the world. And sometimes showing to the world was accurate, sometimes personal information.
Sure.
But bottom line, it spreads. So, because the Romanian part is far less known. Dracula in Transylvania did us both a service and a disservice. Everything that and knowing about Roman lore and folklore revolves around castle and Dracula and vampire, and 90% of it is fabrication.
Yeah.
So the existing fairy tradition overlooked. They have been overlooked by the Romanians because we've been under an oppressive communist 45%, and it was the stamping out of the party. Anything with the flavor of Dracula and everything that so fairies forget about. However, that lore survived because, one, it is very practical and critically important for the survival of agricultural communities, for whether you call them cooperatives, whatever, collectives, as the communists have some. There's still people working in and working in land and farm.
Right.
And you still need that old knowledge to studies that are not always good links and propitiate those who are good links for blessing your crops and blessing your animals. So that's kind of a resurfacing now, and I'm making my contribution.
No, and I think your voice about this is so important because you don't sow caution to the wind. You are very practical in the things you have communicated to everybody about. This is for everyone. You are called or you speak gently. You've been wonderful in your teachings about this, and I'm so appreciative because, as you and I have discussed, I'm afraid of them. Fearful as hell, because I and a lot of people think, oh, fairies, how cute. No, these are not little toys that we are out in the forest playing with, because they don't play, as you have explained. This is a very serious practice, and I think the term fairy makes people feel like it's not the threat that it actually is.
Well, they feel you respect it. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Yeah, everybody thinks. Well, and I'm like,
no, we are not talking about saying that.
Any practice needs to be respected.
No, I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's like people need to be allowed to practice as they wish, as long as they're not hurting innocents. But anything else to you both? Enjoy. Yeah, knock yourselves out.
Exactly.
Danielle, talk about
the second book.
Yes, please talk about the second book.
Everything that you said, just take us right into the second book, and that is how do you actually work with studies in art. Respectful and with every single touching on every single caution flashing sign that you use out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the second book is a study path, the memoirs of and the word memoir is like what kind of a memoir can
a young fairy
seer
yes.
Now, how many young fairy seers actually put their experiences out there for the public?
Not in writing. How many
fairy seers have actually the literacy and the time and the skills and the willingness to put these things into writing?
Right.
So that's autobiographic. There's the only thing that are changed there are some names, how to protect.
The guilty.
To protect. If there's one guilty party in the book, if you read it, that's here talking to you about. So a lot of things going bump in my witchy experiments that I was doing art when I was a kid. So it is basically my journey from really feeling born and called to this path. My grandmother's son, she was, and it was like, didn't really want to, you know, grab me and throw me into the end. This is not how you would deal with a child. That was this perfect script for disaster. A keg of powder, so quick to vengeance, prone to anger. And what I learned from my grandmother, because she's holding back stuff, you have to learn how to manage yourself and your temper, your emotions. I'm not going to teach anything. You already do a lot that you shouldn't, so I'm not going to teach you anything more because you just. And the fairies, she said, would go up more, so I would approach it with cautious and informed about what they do and not get sidetracked by, but or misled, like, yeah, but my book or the fairy tales, the tales for written for children, just like it up, that's just what with as you well know. So that is basically that book, my journey through growing into fairy witchcraft, parting ways, craft and craft in general for a number of years, and it's coming back to happening. No more spoilers.
Buy the book.
And,
no more spoilers.
And then the very end of the book, so when I was a kid, magical journal that I call that magic, was in black ink. You know, it was a regular whatever, you know,
already a writer.
Yes, that I was. And that got lost. So what I'm sharing here is like things from 45 days ago. And but a lot of it, when I got back, reconnected with my path and my authentic self, and too cautious. Heck no, I'm going to be who I am, and I'm going back to what I've always wanted to be, childhood.
Sure.
And then I made effort to remember part of the thousand my grandma's friends. Painstaking process to translate from Romanian, because for some things there are no linguistic equivalents.
Right.
So
right. Some translate.
Try to translate, and that's the last section in the book is charms adapted, of course. So that's some practical.
That's exciting. And what about the next? I'm just inquiring. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know anything. I'm just asking questions. That's
the
all.
Third one is another of the books that I wish I had.
Yes.
So when I cannot find it, then I'm going to write it.
Yep.
And this is fairy herbs. And I really wanted to. So my own fairy path right now is, I wouldn't say hodgepodge because that's not absolutely. So it is more eclectic. So I'm more North Gaelic oriented. and my the 30 beings that I'm in click with are from there. So I wanted to have this, and I use with herbs, herbalism, because that's what I grew up with, grandmother.
Right.
So I wanted herbs and study come together. And when I need to use herbs, I want to know what am I using that is not going to offend my fairy allies, but it will instead keep out of my circle, out of my surroundings, those among fairies whom we know are not always benevolent, kind, and fond, and said, you know, I fancy what a great witch I am. So research. I put together like over 40 plant specimens and plant based something like or close to so a petrified wood. And I brought all these together, and there's also an additional chapter on water. So these are water. This is something that I know from my grandmother, like snow water, or water from melting ice, or water from thunderstorm water. Water that's been, you know, from melting hail, and they all have different properties. And that's the science behind it. I let the more qualified people to talk about it. and there's also a chapter in this book on the tradition of fairy healers, fairy witches, who receive their knowledge from fairy. And stones, as always. And there's a meditation in on how to connect safely with fairy guides, with fairy possible allies that would show you the rope of plant magic. So, again, last section, all practical, this is how you need to home protection studies that are just safe, very friendly, and screening out very
That's exciting. When is that one coming out?
2024. I don't have exactly a date for it. It's sometimes the very past, the second book comes out in January, and this should be a little bit later.
That's awesome. And tell folks what you're teaching this weekend.
Okay, this weekend I'm going to teach two events and have a book signing event. The first one I'll be teaching tomorrow to two yoga texts for meditation.
Yay!
Learn your gentle postures and to move around the energy and expand and strengthen that energetic body. Yes. And project that energy into manifestation.
Fantastic.
And into self-balancing. So that's a open stop. And then the second one is apotropaic and initiatory elements for, and what we talked about, making your space available, not available, but feeling to fairy allies and that you know safe. Around while keeping the others in exploration through hundreds of years of various kinds of elements and materials, how they would incorporate the core and home design, and most importantly, how what do we do with it today, because we may not have those fence or gates with all kind or a horse skull on a horse.
Right.
In your front yard, you know.
Everyone can't, but some of us can.
In theory, we can, but some of us is better not to. So anyway, so that's going to be the second tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Saturday will be a book signing event for the book studies.
You know what time it is?
4:30.
Okay.
Yes, I got it. 4:30. Because you worked with me before.
Yes. Daniela, tell people how they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook. I know everyone's surprised. I'm on Facebook, Daniela Civina author page. I have an Instagram account, Daniela Civina 1. TikTok, Whispers in the Twilight. So that's where you can touch with me. website, not recommended. It's a mess. And
do not look for Danielle Simila website, please. I'll let you know when that comes.
Daniela, thank you so much for coming
so
on. I've got to move on. It is a pleasure, as always, to see you. Deborah, ring your bells, baby. Danielle, thank you so much, and we will see you later. Love you. And our next guest
is Mr. John Beckett. Yay, John! Thank you. Woo-hoo.
Hi, John.
Hi.
It's been 5 seconds since
the
last time we spoke.
I know. We didn't speak for months, and then now here
we're
doing regular
things. I know. We're doing regular things together. I'm looking on the other side of the room. It's all innocent, I swear to you. Okay.
So this is my wife, Kathy.
Yes. Hi, Kathy.
And Kathy is used to me being here with our friend Cynthia.
So
what you say is no surprise to her. It's just the way
you're
things are.
You're married to John Beckett. I'm sure you've heard it all. Yeah.
Between her and Sin, they make sure I stay I stay grounded and my head doesn't get too big from all these people saying such nice things.
I believe nothing of the sort, Kathy. Wasn't a real deal, please. Is it as he says it is, or is he full of it? Okay, so there's a reason why I ask these questions, because we've all known John Beckett for years and years and years, and only now do we get the real on this amazing author from another perspective. Yes, thank you for coming, Kathy. We love you, John. Just saying. But John, let's talk about what you've written, your writings. Let's talk about your workshops. Let's talk about all of it. So, tell people who you are for those who have not heard you before.
Okay. I am John Beckett. I am a druid. I am a polytheist priest. Probably best known for my blog, Under the Ancient Oaks, which is on the Patheos Pagan channel. I also have a standalone website called undertheancientoaks.com,
mm-hmm.
where I teach online classes, and I do a free weekly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I've written 2 books,
yep.
The Path of Paganism,
yep.
Came out in 2017, and Paganism in Depth, the Polytheist Approaches, came out in 2019. Also, the co-editor of the Book of Cernunnos, which just came out last month.
Yes, congratulations.
Finally, it was a project that we thought would, Jason Mankey is the other editor, and Jason and I thought we could get this thing done from start to finish in, 9 to 12 months, and it was 4.5 years.
Oh, gosh.
And COVID's responsible for some of that, but not all of that.
Right.
But the book is here. We have seen over the last 15 years or so a series of different devotional anthologies dedicated to this god, that goddess, and Jason and I are both followers of Cernunnos, and we thought it was time he had his book.
Indeed.
And thanks to the contribution of 30 other writers, artists, ritualists, photographers, poets, now he does.
Yeah.
Book came out last month. It is available. It's available. Amazon is the only place you can order it. It's a print on demand book. And devotional anthologies typically don't sell enough copies to make the Llewellyns and Wisers of the world interested in doing it. But because of print-on-demand technology, it's available.
Yes.
And you can order it, and for $19, you can have a copy in your home in a couple of days. Or if you're here, stop down in Sojourners. They're going to have it there. I will have some copies at my present.
Fantastic, and let's talk about that.
So I'm doing 2 presentations. Both of them are tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
At 8 a.m., I am talking about magic for difficult times.
Yes.
This presentation was inspired by Hunter S. Thompson. yeah. Who said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Yeah.
nobody's really sure exactly what he meant by that, other than he wanted people to be talking about it, and here we are.
We are, after all this time.
But the going has definitely gotten weird,
yeah.
And it is time for us to turn pro, and I don't mean that in terms of how you make it.
Right.
Working magic is figuring out what to work magic for.
That's hard. Absolutely.
So this will be a presentation on what to work magic for, how to structure magical workings, how to look for, how to build a magical strategy in this, all of this that we're living in, both environmental and political and magical and spiritual, all of this stuff that's going on. How do we live good lives, and how do we use our magic to take care of ourselves and those closest?
Right.
So that's at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 4:30, I'm going to be talking about exercising toxic religion from your soul.
Oh, boy. I'm tired already. Oh, John, this is something we have been talking about.
We were just talking about that in the call right
since
here.
The beginning of our pagan lives. How do we get the Christian or the Judeo-Christian or whatever it is out and make it not? Because a lot of the time I find that paganism for a lot of people looks like it. Yes.
Unfortunately.
And it's hard to unlink those things. So, I mean, yeah, what do we do? It's going to be a great talk, I'm sure.
So I grew up in a fundamentalist Baptist church.
Pentecostal.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And, you know, I knew from about 9 or 10 years old, I started realizing that what I was being taught ain't, you know,
something is not
jiving
here.
Right.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
exactly.
It's
not working.
It's the line from Gershwin, it ain't necessarily so.
Correct.
And it took me, you know, I tried to be a liberal Christian. I tried to be an
That's
agnostic.
An oxymoron at this point, don't you think?
No, it's not.
Oh,
no,
not?
It's not. And I point to my wife as an example.
Are you really?
Okay.
It's nice to meet you.
I'm glad to know you exist because, oh boy, they're not in my life.
They're not, but check out the United Church of Christ.
Okay.
If you grew up in the South,
not that
Church of Christ.
Right.
The UCC, that was Barack Obama's denomination.
Yes. Yeah.
The UCC, some of the Disciples of Christ, the United Methodists are in a schism now.
Yes.
because the United Methodist Church wants to be inclusive of LGBTQ people, they've lost the Methodists who don't want to do
right.
that, and that's a sad thing for their denomination, but it's a good thing because it lets those who want to be inclusive, good inclusive Christians, to do that. So no, the
I just want everyone to understand. The fear of all Christians is not practical or necessary.
Correct. Because some of them are our allies. We're not going to worship together.
Okay, so now that you're both here, can you come closer? Can we get you over here, please? Kathy, I want to know, as someone who... I'm assuming you were raised Christian. Is that the fact? How is it you can make a functional relationship work with somebody who is so not that?
The thing is understanding, giving support, because he supports me in the stuff I like to do at my church. He'll come.
Yeah.
But
do you find conflict with the things you believe and the things
really.
You believe? Ah.
Not really.
Okay.
Because, among other things, I have a degree in history. And I have looked into all of the history of all of the religions that I have been subjected to over the years.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah.
And, you know, I've read a lot of pagan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you read John 6?
Yeah.
You have. Okay.
I've also taken several of his online courses.
That's amazing. I love this. Supportive, not, you know, because one of the things I was taught in my church was you can't be, quote, unquote, unevenly yoked. That's a big thing in fundamental Christianity.
It is, and it is not a thing in the liberal Christian religion. So, you know, the people who say I'm going to follow Jesus, but if you follow somebody else, you follow Cornunos, that's fine too.
Yeah.
We have, you can't believe your way is the only way and have a relationship.
Right.
But if you respect each other and if you respect each other and you respect each other's religious traditions and choices, because ultimately when it comes, that's one of the points I'm going to make in the presentation tomorrow, religion is ultimately uncertain.
Yeah.
And the people who say, I have the truth, you know, it's this way or you're going to hell, they're just simply wrong.
Exactly.
So what this presentation is going to do is, part of it is my story, but more of it is what I've distilled from that story of how to break those ties, how to the Jesuits have a saying, give me the boy until he's seven and I will give you the man. Those things, those stories that we're told when we're 6, 7 years old, those stay in us.
Yes.
They don't go away.
Absolutely.
And you can say, I don't believe that anymore, and you can really and truly not believe it. Tentacles are so.
They really
you have to actively work to remove. And some people need therapy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you need therapy, get it. But therapy.
I have.
Religion is no substitute for therapy.
Right.
Therapy is no substitute for good religion.
Ooh, I've never heard that before.
The cure for a bad religious experience is a good religion. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow at 4:30. And they've given me the big room, and I'm expecting to need it.
Yeah. cool.
So we will see. Maybe not. But
well, we're expecting a big turnout this year, John.
So
yeah.
This is I did this presentation at Austin Witch Fest March, and was very pleased there. It's important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's something that you have to, if you want to move on, if you want to go and be a happy pagan, a happy witch, or a happy Buddhist or atheist or whatever, you've got to get those tentacles of that toxic religion out of yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
That's amazing. John, before you go, tell people where they can find you online and all of that.
Okay. One more thing to plug.
Oh, please do.
I have just announced the next to the newsletter subscribers. You find
Yay.
Out about things first. The next Under the Ancient Oaks online course is coming. It's going to start August 31st.
Mm-hmm.
It is Modern Pagan Metaphysics.
Cool.
It's about building an intellectual and spiritual foundation for our pagan practice. You talked about whose paganism looks a lot like Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
That's because they're operating, they never get rid of that Christian worldview.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to talk about tomorrow at 4:30 is how to get rid of that. What that this course is going to be is how do you build a good, robust pagan worldview. So I'll be having more about that in the coming. How do you find me? Search for me, Google John Beckett Pathios, that'll take you to the blog, John Beckett Under the Ancient Oaks, take you to my teaching site. I'm on most of the social media sites. I'm most active on Facebook. If you send me a Facebook friend request, also send me a private message telling me who you are and where we met, or just something to make me that shows me that you're not either a scammer or a bot.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of that out there.
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I just set up an account on the new Threads. We'll see how that goes. And I have a YouTube account. I don't post a lot there, but I do post some, so it's not hard to find.
Fantastic. John, thank you so much.
Thank you
Looking
for having
forward
me.
To it. And Kathy, thank you for letting me rope you into the discussion. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I was looking.
Uh-huh. 36
years this year.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations,
yay.
You guys.
Thank you so
much.
I got my Arkansas paper here.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Yay.
All
Arkansas
right.
Paper.
Definitely.
Yay,
Mr.
Arkansas.
Brown, Scott Brown, please have a
oh,
seat. Come
thank
on
you.
Down.
Hi, Scott.
Howdy.
Okay, so joining us is Scott Brown. Scott, tell people who you are.
Well, I am a pagan photographer
yeah.
with a background in computer engineering
uh-huh.
and co-author of the book The Modern Totemist.
Oh. Cool. Yeah. Talk to me about this book.
Well, our book is The Modern Totemist, and my wife and I wrote it. It talks about the path that we follow,
mm-hmm.
and it is a way that – it's a path that anybody can apply to, whether you're a Christian or pagan, no matter what your religious
yeah.
beliefs are,
uh-huh.
because it's a way of visualizing yourself and the elements that make up who you are in your sacred self.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way of just understanding yourself, understanding why your instincts tell you to make certain decisions. And
I need help with this, Scott.
I have it. It's
Scott, I have not made some of the best decisions. I'm just going to tell you straight up, my listeners fucking know me. The bitch has made some mistakes, I'm just saying.
It's a great book.
Well, and the thing is, we don't really hold to the idea that a decision is in and of itself is right or wrong.
Oh.
It's that it may not fit in the world that we're trying to live in today.
Uh-huh.
That decision may have been perfectly right for you 10,000 years ago when we were in tribal, you know, ice age kind of world.
I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you go into why we make decisions that may not be the best for us knowing that?
Yeah, because it is your totemic, it's your natural totemic response to something.
I need help,
almost
God.
Like instinct,
it's almost like instinct.
Oh, my gosh. I need help. Because I make some
bad decisions.
Seriously, I find this with some of my friends in really bad relationships. It's like, you know this person is a shit.
Right.
This person has already treated you like shit. Why are you going back to this person for the 19th time knowing that you already know the outcome. Why are you doing this? This doesn't make sense to me. And it's not just relationship stuff. It's jobs. I'm going to tell them I'm not working overtime. And then you work fucking twice as much overtime.
Right.
So when we come up against that wall, it's like, no, 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 no. Oh, okay. And like something just kind of busts through the barrier and you give yourself excuses for why you're doing the thing that's really hurting you. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. So I'm assuming your book is going to tell me
yep. What
the hell is up and how I stop
it's
doing
gonna
this
It's going to help
shit.
You figure that out for yourself.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm like, you find
fuck,
the
I don't want to. I do not want to have that kind of responsibility on my head.
This is not a path for the lazy.
Oh,
it's an excellent book.
I'm sure it's a great book, but I am lazy as shit. But at least it's a tool to solve.
It is. It
so
is.
So it's a way in to my own fucking psyche that is a
yeah. So we believe everybody has 9 totems that make up their sacred self.
Oh,
and,
wow. Okay.
And
I
so, and
help.
Each of those, oh, each of those has an influence on the way you make decisions. And so, by understanding those, you understand why you want to make certain decisions, and then you can make the just make
decision
the decision.
Not.
Is that right for the environment that you are living in?
Yeah.
And you know, and it also gives you something to draw on
yeah.
to help make help you make this better, you know, better decision. Because we the totems balance each other out.
So my takeaway for this book is
homework.
It doesn't matter, desperados, if you want to do the work or not. You have to do the work.
You're going
to
do the work one way or the other, so you might as well do it on your own accord instead of the universe going, slap!
Get the book. It's cheaper. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there's any substitute for therapy if you need it. However,
that may be part of the
this may be the starting point. To get you to start understanding why you're doing the bullshit you're doing.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of you. Wow.
So what class are you doing?
Yeah, what class are you doing?
I know this answer already,
so
but I'm
I do too. Oh, by the way, this class about energy tasting.
Energy
tasting. Excuse me. Are there any openings left?
As far as I know, there's...
I can still
first
get
come,
in?
First serve, yeah.
Okay, so if I show up with my happy ass, maybe I can get in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 9:30 tomorrow morning. So, you know, if you're running on...
We'll be reading at 9:30. But,
well, we can probably do it at 9.
Okay.
You know the reader.
I know the reader real well. I might be able to move that spot a little bit.
But what it is, think of it as a wine tasting, but you're using... all of the magical ingredients instead of wine. So as a vendor, my wife and I have been approached numerous times where people have asked the question, what tool is right for me?
Yeah.
I can't tell you what tool is right for you. So you vibrate at a specific energy frequency, and your interaction with that tool and the materials in that tool are going to determine whether or not you mesh with that tool.
Isn't that fascinating, though? Right. But here's the thing. We go sometimes, and I don't know why we do this, we look at another human being and say, figure me out.
Right.
Yeah.
You tell me what your impression is of what I need. Because we have no clue. For ourselves, what we need.
Right.
But sometimes we really do need guidance.
Well, I can just tell you about their stuff.
Yes.
All of their stuff is what I need.
There you go.
If there's anything left after I shop with them, good luck. I mean, Stephanie knows my soul. She sees inside my soul.
Okay, let's get into that. So we're gonna. But before we get into that, which we're gonna do, because I want to know what you're vending. Talk a little bit more about the energy tasting.
So the other thing that we've run into as vendors is people not understanding what materials can be substituted one for the other. So, you know, whether, you know, they'll say, I can't do this spell because I'm out of quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Right, who's ever out of quartz? But, you know, hey.
Not us.
Not this school.
Not in Arkansas. Right.
Not our people. Nope.
But, you know, or they're out of mint, or they're out of mugwort, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'm always out of mugwort.
They don't have a red candle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what this should, what the class will do is it'll help open your mind to the idea of trusting your own readings on the materials.
Mm-hmm.
So if quartz has a resonance for you and you say that it is, you know, a great energy battery. It's a battery for you.
Oh, yeah.
Then, great. You don't have it.
What do you do?
You can go and you can say, well, this other stone works as a battery well for me.
Right.
Even if everything on Google and everything you've read says that it's a
drainer
or
something the opposite.
Because that stone is like a lens. It's going to affect your energy in a specific way.
Yeah.
And
that's
so cool. I've got 40 items that are common, you know, that are just a broad spectrum of materials.
Wow.
And we're going to sample those materials energetically without knowing what they are.
Yes, it's
and
super
then,
cool.
And then
I'm excited.
We're going to, and you're going to write down what you think it should be used for.
Okay.
Then we're going to reveal what the item is, and we're going to then compare your reading to Google.
No kidding.
Or at least the you know, first things that came up when I did a Google search on that material.
Right.
And we're going to compare because, you know, I'm taking Google as kind of our universal average.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Oh, my God. That sounds like
See,
so
this
much
is why
fun.
I love my Arkansas people. They're so cool. We have so much cool stuff going on over in Arkansas.
I'm super excited about this class.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not that energy tasting.
It's great.
Do you get to touch the thing or no?
Yeah, so it's in a paper bag. You'll reach in. You can fondle the item in there.
He knows me so well. And we just met. You're my kind of guy. Where's your wife?
You can't setting up the vending booth.
Okay, well, we're off the hallway. That's where we're headed. Hello. I'm serious.
And so you're gonna pass energy. And you're gonna jot down your notes. And then you're gonna pull it out.
I can't wait.
And I tried a different approach at Puff a few weeks ago, and to help with dealing with large groups, which I hope that we're going to have.
Yes.
And
does this class not sound cool to everybody? Come on. I've done it before. It's super cool. I cannot wait. I'm so excited about it.
You'll get to go through at least two rounds of this.
Cool.
Probably four to five items each round.
That's exciting. In all honesty, Deborah has told me about it, but hearing you talk about it, it's like, oh, my God, I've
got
to
rep for my
class. Absolutely.
Got to rep for my Arkansas feet.
You do. You do. So tell me about what you're vending.
So everything we've
Deborah's
got
is falling over right now.
Everything we've got is my wife's work.
Okay.
And it's all what I classify as neo-primitive. So it's all natural materials. As much as is humanly possible to reuse, recycle, ethically sourced. So like, if the branch, we don't typically go out and just cut the branches down for wood products. We'll look for deadfall.
Or you'll go to a friend's farm, and we'll load your back of your truck up.
Deborah got
a bunch of bones.
We got a bunch of bones. We got a bunch
of
branches from Deb's
farm.
Oh, that was great.
I photographed my horses, and I'm like, I remember that you were coming out. Deb and I talk, we FaceTime a lot, you know. So she's like, well, stop me watercolors, and I want to get rid of it. So bye.
Yeah, pretty much I make their booth find it every event.
Good friends to have.
Oh, my gosh. So you're doing the energy tasting. Are you doing any other classes?
I'm not.
Okay, cool.
That's
cool. But tell me more about what you're actually, so it's your wife's work, but we still haven't got, and we know
it's
that it's fan, ethically sourced.
So things like smudge fans.
Nice. Oh, yes.
Right. Athames.
Nice.
That are all natural materials. So it's bone and wood.
Yeah.
No mystery metal from whatever
China
third world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not mass produced anything.
Nothing is mass produced. It
Perfect.
Is. It's all hand, like Peruvian sets are, she slices branch, she burns the wood, uses like gunstock oil or different oils on it, and then hand sews the leather pouch that it's.
Boy, that is start to finish, handcrafted everything.
Absolutely.
People should come to Arkansas to events to get cool stuff over there.
We do.
You know, you can hop for your Arkansas events a little later, madam. Right now, we're at Mystic South.
I know.
At the beautiful Crown Plaza, Atlanta Perimeter at Ravinia. at 4355 Ashford Dunwoody in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia.
Exit 29 off the bypass.
Zip code 30346. Yes, I've got it fucking memorized.
DR549.
That's right. You know what we're doing.
And, folks, the humidity level is the same here as it is in Arkansas.
Yes, it is.
So
it is
so
no cooler.
Feel right at home.
It is no cooler. Hey, listen, it's cooler here than it is in Charlotte, North Carolina right now.
Awesome.
That's your thought. 3 degrees cooler here.
Wow.
In hot Atlanta. Listen, that makes a difference to somebody, not me. A bitch is sweating. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. For real. But the truth is, we're happy to be here, and we're really looking forward to seeing
you. Tell us your business name.
Tell us your business name.
So,
thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, so it's Painted Cave Studio.
Ooh, cool.
She's got an Etsy store to get, if you're not here, and as soon as we get back, it'll go off vacation mode, and yeah, you can get the stuff there.
Unless they sell it all this weekend, so you better fucking show up.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Day passes are $55.
Day passes are $55. Scott, I'm still looking forward to tomorrow.
I'm so glad y'all are
thank
here.
You so
yeah.
much
thank
for
you.
Coming and hanging
thank
out
you.
With us.
Well, look forward to having you.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. All right, Joel Green, you're in the hot seat. All right, Joel Green. Yay!
Hello.
Hi, Joel.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm here at Mystic South with my girlfriend, Deborah.
I know.
Meeting all her new friends. And
your new friends.
You're the new friend.
her old friends, meeting new friends.
New friends.
We're bringing right. you into the family.
That's
yes,
right.
Sounds good.
And it's like the mafia when you get out.
Right.
Yeah, we don't let you out.
Yes,
you.
Oh, sorry.
We can hear you.
Okay.
We're not hearing you. No. All right, Joel. Tell us everything.
Okay. Well, it all started. South Dakota.
Okay.
We came in from Arkansas yesterday. We
uh-huh.
drove. We drove here, and you know, I've been for a living. I've done a lot of other esoteric things.
You
I
have.
Taught yoga. Owned a yoga studio for 7 years. And
cool.
Built houses. Did construction. My wife's got a master's degree, does creative writing. She's actually wrote a small book, but that's a whole other story another time.
Okay.
Nothing to mention here.
All right. Okay.
But,
keep it.
Yeah.
All
so,
right.
Well,
just tell me about what you're doing at Mystic South.
I'm a wizard.
Aside from
I'm a wizard. I make magic wands for a living.
Well, that's it.
I
okay.
make magic wands.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Awesome.
And I, just like Scott and Stephanie, I gather a lot of my materials myself, and one of the main materials that I gather is Arkansas quartz. It's a clear quartz. There's only two places in the world that have quartz, clear quartz of that quality.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mount Ida, Arkansas, Brazil.
Wow.
So I had a yogi one time. She went scuba diving in Australia, went to the Sydney Museum. There was an Arkansas quartz there. You know, the size of the car hood. So that tells you how amazing. Now, the stuff I've got with me this time is not the size of a car hood. I'm sorry, we were limited with space. So some of the pieces are small, but they're gorgeous quartz pieces. And
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Deborah has mentioned that Arkansas quartz is tiny. So is it a chemical structure that makes it on size? What is it exactly that makes it so phenomenal.
If you come to my talk tomorrow morning at 8, I'll answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
for me, it's a master healer.
Okay.
It's an amplifier of energy.
Yeah. Which
takes,
is often said about most quartz, but Arkansas quartz seems special.
Well, it is to me because I'm from Arkansas.
Yeah, but I'm not, but it is to me
but,
too.
But, right, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So I just want folks to understand who are not from Arkansas
yeah.
why Arkansas quartz is so
say what you told me. Crystal mining the other day, just about
being the first one to pull it out of the earth.
Yes.
So that's one of the things. It's all the stuff that I get. I get myself.
Right.
Or with friends, gather it. And
much
it means
like
that,
Scott.
Yeah,
Scott
it means
does.
That
yeah.
with this material, energetically, I'm the first person to bring it to light, to bring it out of the ground into the light. I mean, it's been in the ground for millions of years in the dark. Mm-hmm. So, and with my wands, what I've been doing lately is all my wands have a tip of Arkansas quartz on, or something similar. You know, there's a few that don't have Arkansas quartz that other stones.
So it's really especially clean quartz.
Yes.
Is very clean.
Because it has not gone through processing machines. It's not gone through.
Yes.
Just
it hasn't been.
It's,
none
it
of
hasn't
the facets,
been dug up by machine
right?
at all. It's
it hasn't
all
been
hand
humbled. It hasn't been.
Right.
It hasn't been ground on.
So
it hasn't
energy
been shaped.
Extra pure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super pure. And it's very easy to program. It's,
that's a question I have for you, or maybe both of you like that, because I'm never sure anymore.
Okay. We come as a set.
They do come as a set. So what I need to understand is, how do you guys recommend clean, in a clean quartz, number one? That's something important to do once I get it from you?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think clearing the energy off of any object you receive is a good idea. Age it or... Mm-hmm. Some things I don't want, you know, you don't want to put water on it.
Right.
But energetically, cleansing is always good.
Because I find sometimes when I buy some piece of quartz that no matter how many times I fucking clean, still it's like something else is stuck to it. Is that because of how it was pulled out of the ground, or
probably.
Is it because of whose hands it went through? And do you have ideas?
Probably a combination of all those things.
Yeah.
You know,
so do you have recommendations on how to something that doesn't necessarily seem like it wants to be cleaned?
So this is what I do for the court, is I sell the wands that I make with small clusters. Now, the clusters are their home for a million years, or, you know, however long, 100,000, however, so an extended period of time.
Geological
time scale. This thing has been in the dark with these other, it's like a family. So if you're going to use the wand for energetic work, a good way that I recommend cleaning it, putting it back into that, setting it back on that cluster, letting it charge.
And we sell, we can sell the wand with their little family. Got the little charging.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because normally when you just buy quartz, one piece can come from anywhere. The next piece can come from anywhere.
Right.
So you actually sell them with their own little charging station.
Yeah.
Kind of. Just
so
a little,
cool.
little plant.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Well, and the bones that he has.
Yeah, tell me about the bone stuff.
So, all the bones.
We've been just like Scott did. We went out to Deborah's farm and took some bones. She's got bones. If you need bones, anybody needs bones, I know where to find them.
Yeah.
So we gathered them from, like, I've got one black cat bone, one
friendly cat.
Friendly cat. Cat.
Yeah, so the bones all have stories.
Yeah, they do.
So I can tell you where they all came from.
Yeah.
The names of the animals. They would be.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Or, you know, some of the pieces that I've got, might not be able to tell you what the animal's name was because it's here. But other than that, but they're all ethically, I don't hunt. So, like, all the bones that I gather, like the deer bone wand,
mm-hmm.
is all stuff that I've gathered out on hikes.
Deer bones that you got from me, that was, we had to look at lightning tree.
Yeah.
In my pasture, several years ago, got hit by lightning, and I wanted some wood from it.
Sure.
Of course, it was a long time ago, and I think I was either on the phone with you or I was texting with you, and the tree had fallen, and it was spotted long ago, but I turned around, and at the base of the tree that I was standing,
wow.
Antler, rack, the whole business, the whole skeleton. Yeah, there we go. So a lot of the bone wands, the deer bones, came from that buck.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's amazing.
Like gifts from the universe.
Yeah.
Antler's materials. Use this. This is magical. That's what.
Or like the stones we stick.
or four from hikes.
Yeah.
Now that one is Fuzzy Butt Falls.
I've got a staff from Hell's Half Acre.
Yeah.
A long story. We're not going into it here.
All right, we won't go into that. All right. Okay. Oh. Come here, Joel. You get to be my co-host for a while we interview this person.
Okay.
Yay.
Who is this person?
Okay. Yes. Hi there.
Hi.
This is one of my dearest friends, Dr. Deborah Burris.
Hi.
And she's going to talk to us about some stuff that she's made,
mm-hmm.
that she's selling this weekend, and her classes,
yeah.
and the fact that she's doing research work,
yes.
and healing work.
Yes. I'm busy this weekend.
You have no time to rest.
I'm one busy witch.
Yeah, one busy.
Well, let's talk about the classes first before I forget the time, because I had to look them up twice.
Okay, good.
So Friday morning, tomorrow morning,
at 8
part of the reason why we're having a show today
yes.
is at 8 a.m. in the morning, I kick off the workshops with a workshop called Digging Deeper, Rocking Science and Magic.
Yes.
So it's a pun, but I'm going to, if those of you who have come to my talks in the past know that I like to look at the synergy between science and magic, because I think as we understand more, because I'm a physicist by trade,
yes.
as we understand more and have better technology, we're going to find that these things are converging. That's a different talk for another time, but I like to look at, I don't think that my science and my magic are separate entities. They are two sides of the same energetic coin. If you work, if you work with energy, get a witness.
Magic is science.
That's exactly
right.
But if you look at energy, if we're energy workers, whether it's readers
mm-hmm.
or Reiki or yoga practice or magic or whatever, energy is energy, whether it's from thermodynamic processes in that thunderstorm cloud that's out the window there.
Oh, is there one out the window there?
Yeah, it's afternoon thunderstorm heating will be happening this afternoon. Talked about in my book.
Upcoming book.
Upcoming book. But it's
everyone
all energy.
Just ran to the window.
Everyone
all.
In the room has just
right there.
Run
there
to the
go.
Window.
Because in addition to talking about rocks, Dr. Burris also talks about weather witchcraft.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I'm versatile.
He and I are going to be good friends.
He's my yoga teacher, too, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay. That's
fair.
We all are in our family. Go ahead.
But I think it's important to understand when you look at a crystal, like an Arkansas quartz crystal, one of the reasons why Arkansas quartz is so energetically amazing is if you look at its internal crystal structure, it's a hexagon. And in sacred geometry, hexagons are like super powerful because they make up the flower of life.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know any of that.
So I think part of what makes it,
she's sexy when she's
right. Sapiosexual. Yes.
Smart is sexy.
Smart is sexy. Thank you.
That's my stock and trade.
Hello.
Let me tell you about the periodic table now.
We're going to talk about business.
Yeah, we'll be here for 3 hours. So I love it.
Oh, this could change. Next.
Yes. But,
probably will.
So the idea behind energy work to me is if you can understand all of the energetic processes that went into making that rock, going all the way back to the formation of the earth,
wow.
there's all this energy in that crystal that's available for us to tap into. So why not? Right? Why
Absolutely.
Not? So that's going to be what the talk is about primarily. We're going to look at crystal structures and crystal systems and talk about like things like sacred geometry and numerology and magical practices. And then I'm going to look at some particular stones to just kind of point out some of my personal favorites, which will be available at Sticks and Stones booth after the talk.
We're
going to
go into that afterwards.
I think it's like what Scott was saying. Google is fine, but don't be limited by Google. Make the practice your own, and that's one of the things that I do in my practice is I bring my science in.
Yeah.
So that's what my talk at 8 a.m. is about. There will be a giveaway at the talk, by the way.
There will be a giveaway
yes.
at the talk.
Yes.
Letting people
yeah, yeah.
hear that again.
So, but at any rate, then on Saturday,
at 1:30, I think so. 1:30.
Researching.
I think that's correct.
Researching.
1:30.
Researching.
I can get my phone.
No, 1:30.
There's an eclipse coming.
Yeah, 1:30.
There's an eclipse coming. Yes. So in 2024, on April the 8th, there is an eclipse, total solar eclipse, is going to be tracking across Arkansas. And on I forget what time of day it is. I think it's in the morning. But
why is
that,
an eclipse? Please talk about also why an eclipse.
Okay, well, if you come to my talk, I will explain that.
Yes.
But a solar eclipse happens when you have a new moon, and the moon's orbit lines up with the orbit of the plane of the Earth's orbit around the sun, and because they're physically, because they are visually the same size in the sky right now, the sun gets blocked out by the moon, and we have an eclipse, right? And you can figure these things out when they're going to occur. Well, there's going to be one on April the 8th, 2024, and my farm is on the midline of the totality. So we have 4 minutes of totality at my farm. So I'm very excited about this. So we're going to be talking a little bit about why eclipses occur, and then we're going to be talking about some of the lore and legends and mythology surrounding eclipses in my talk at 1:30 on Saturday. I'm also in the reader room. I've got 2 spots left for tarot readings. I read tarot intuitively, right? As much as an academic as I am not a rule follower when it comes to my witchness.
Shocker.
So I basically, years ago, when I was just getting started, a friend of mine gave me a book called The Intuitive Tarot, which I read, and it was basically don't look at the little pamphlet that comes with your tarot cards. Don't use that as your be-all, end-all. And so the way I read is very intuitive. I've brought several different decks. You get to pick the one that calls to you, and that's the one I'm going to read with. I think they're about 20-minute spots, and I'm taking donations, cash on donations.
Yeah.
So, and I don't even have a suggested price, but you know in your heart what my reading is.
I'm not going to answer.
No, that will be when you get to the vending booth.
Yeah, that might be another story. Speaking of which, what are some of the things you've created?
Well, so Joe and Rachel have inspired me to start making a few things again. So I took some of the bones. I had a very sweet elderly donkey named Sally, and she passed away. Yeah. And unfortunately, where she was at when she died, I could not get to her to bury her. So what I decided was I have her skull on my Hestia altar.
Yes, you do.
And, but I have some of her bones. And we were talking about it one day, and I looked at them, and they're two really two nicely matched bones. And I'm like, this needs to be a sun and moon tarot card wand. So I had been watching Rachel carve with a Dremel, so I'm like, well, maybe I can do this. Now, you see what happens when you try to carve with a Dremel and it slips.
She's injured. There's
an injury happening.
Yeah.
But so there are some bone wands from I can tell you all the animals they came from. And
their names.
And their names.
And their lives.
Yes, and there's a little card at the table if you want to just read it. But I think it's important that you tell the stories of the bones. That's super important. But anyway, so we've carved several of those wands, and Joel helped me with several of the rattles and stuff because he's a magician with wire wrapping, which I'm not. I'm like, please. Do this, please. So we have several bone wands. We have some rattles. We have, there was after his trip that he won't talk about to Hell's Half Acre, I was outside and this huge storm was coming, and I was outside carving a thunderstorm on a piece of bone, and so that storm energy is in that rattle. So it's I'm pretty proud of that one. There's a Medusa one also that I think I showed you. So it's really I haven't drawn in a long time, but I kind of got inspired, and I did a little sketch and I sent it to Joel and I said, "Can you tell what this is?"
I think I know what this is,
but it's we've got that. Then we've got lots of beautiful witches' hats. So Rachel was gracious enough to share her knowledge on how she makes her witches' hats. And I said, well, let me help you make some for Mystic South.
Right.
And I went a little crazy. So
Because I've sewn for about 35 years, I've got a very deep fabric stash.
Yes, you do.
So there are some beautiful witches' hats with vintage trims and vintage pieces of jewelry. So there are, I think I've got about 22 or 25 hats.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah, 22 or 25.
Hats
I can't remember.
Hats will be sold.
Hats will be sold. We've also got these mushroom pendants that I've got on. This has got Arkansas quartz in it, and it.
Wow.
Some of them are glow-in-the-dark, right? The white ones are glow-in-the-dark. So they're Amanita mushrooms, and there's some that are tie-dyed swirlies and all these things. We've just got all sorts of beautiful handmade things that we can tell you the provenance of, which I think is super important.
That is.
Also, there's artwork.
Yeah.
There's
Sarah,
yeah.
Wow.
Rachel. Yeah. Yeah. So there's some beautiful prints of her artwork that's in there.
Wow.
We've also got bone jars. If you like to do bone work, we've got bone jars that have got bones and shells from the river and little white stones that I think are kind of magical because they're perfectly round and beautiful. So we've got all kinds of an assortment of lovely things. And then I went to buy things at the rock shop, and because Deborah has no self-control, Joel picked out some gorgeous clusters, but we've got phantom quartz, which is a unique quartz. Is Arkansas the only place that there's phantom?
No, you can get phantom.
Okay. Explain to them what phantom is, because I never get this right.
So from what I understand, quartz grows over a long time. It starts to grow, and then it stops growing, and another material enters the pocket, like maybe what is it? And then it starts growing again after it gets that thin coat. So what you get is you get a shadow of a crystal inside of a crystal. And this is good for industrial work and shadow work. And
yeah, I don't need a truckload of that.
No, it's very powerful. It's very rare. I had one. So there's specific mines in Arkansas where you can get this phantom quartz.
You can say shit. It's fine.
You get this shit. You get this phantom quartz. But there's other mines that it just, I found it in mines.
Right.
That.
Yeah. Cool.
So we've got phantom quartz. We've got celestite. We've got citrine. Angelite, which is one of those ones you can't get wet. Here's a fun fact for you. Angelite. Angelite is an anhydride, which means absent of water. If you put angelite in water, it will chemically change back into gypsum. Sheetrock, basically.
No way.
Y'all get your angelite wet.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's like a gremlin. Don't get it wet. Yeah, selenite. Yeah. It's anhydride. So anything that's got anhydride, this is why you need to know the science. If anything's got anhydride in the name, means it's absent of water, and if you put it in water, it reconstitutes. No. So we've got angelite. And all your stories about water, that's all talked about in my weather book that's coming out next year, next spring, Weather Magic. Next spring, Llewellyn in the spring releases, there will be Weather Magic, Witchery, Science, and Lore is coming out. 65,000 words about everything you thought you never needed to know about weather. Raina has seen it. Raina was one of my blurb writers, and I've gotten really great reviews back from some people who I really respect, including Raina, on my book, and I'm very excited. It doesn't seem real yet because it's not in my hands. It's kind of out in the ether right now, but it's the same take. It teaches you a lot of the science of weather, and then each chapter has magical practices that you can do. And one of the things I talk about is snow water or a thunderstorm water, or I've got a Ziploc bag full of hailstones in my freezer right now from a hailstorm that we had, you know. So these are all things that you can use. Lightning struck wood is another one, you know. Yeah, or windfall wood is super powerful. So, so that book will be coming out next spring, and I'm very excited. It doesn't seem real because it was a year ago that I pitched it at Mystic South, and oh, my gosh.
I was so excited. I just knew it was going to happen, but I remember when this book was just an idea.
Yes. So maybe after a couple of years and I've recovered from my writing this one, I'll do one about rocks and crystals that is the same idea. So, because that's kind of my niche. I like the science and you can't separate them.
No, you really can't. And people want to. If it's not woo-woo.
Well, and see, I have this weird problem at my work because I'm a witch physics professor.
Yeah.
So I've got the people in the physics camp going, and I've got the people in the witch camp going, and I'm like, to all of you, I do what I want. But so we've got some really beautiful things. What I love about the things that like Scott and Stephanie Crid or Joel and Rachel and then also me is it's all. None of it is mass-produced. All of the stuff is, I mean, about the only thing, like the Sculpey clay, okay, so you got to buy that. But all of the energetic work that's done on those things is done in a very beautiful environment where there's a lot of support, there's a lot of care, there's a lot of love, there's a lot of just great magic that happens. Because we'll have these craft-a-thons where everybody sits down and makes 50 mushrooms or makes wands until middle of the night, you know, and I love that community feeling of that energy going into. So that's pretty much me. So
that's amazing.
Yes. So can we promote some Arkansas stuff coming up?
Please
people
do.
Should come out.
Promote some Arkansas
so
stuff.
So the first thing that's coming up is on Labor Day weekend at Harmony in the Hollow. It's an outdoor event. It's called Pagan and Pride. One of our friends owns a farm, and she puts on these Pagan and Pride events. It is a very safe place. You may remember, if you follow the Wild Hunt back.
Which you should if you're not.
You should, and you should support the Wild Hunt also.
Absolutely.
So but there was a problem at the last one where someone painted a swastika on the road out in front of the event. So that got covered in the Pagan News, the current Pagan News. But what happened, we found out, was this is someone who had targeted several. But there was like a black family that had one painted in front of their house in the Pagan and Pride event. Because Vicki is loud and proud. She's got
right.
huge pride flags all over her farm, and we
yeah.
love her. But on Labor Day weekend, it's the Frosted Moon Festival is what it's called. And it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There will be classes and workshops, and I'm teaching a couple of classes, and I'm also doing an intuitive tarot spread cloth where you can make your own tarot cloth.
Nice.
And there will be vendors, tons of vendors, and music. Lewis Drew and Krista Chapman Green will be playing, and I don't know who else is playing this time, but I know they're playing for sure. So we'll all be there. It's a very friendly space. Come and hang out. It's very inclusive. It's very inexpensive. I think it's $30 or $50 for the entire weekend to camp. And, and then in November 18th and 19th, will be the Enchanted Metaphysical and Mystic Market again.
Are you going to be there, Scott? We will not be there in November. Oh,
that's why I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah, I'm going to be, week before, I'm going to be in Oregon for a work function. And you've got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got it.
But we're going to, it's going to be 2 days again in Conway, Arkansas. There's going to be classes. There's going to be tons of vendors.
It's a great event.
It's a great event. It was huge
yeah,
in April. Yeah, it was big in April. I think they had about 500 paid admissions
mm-hmm.
at the one in April.
Oh, yeah. Options
with
animals.
Yeah, there was an animal adoption.
And then there was a raccoon.
And there was a raccoon that Joel got to take care of. You want to tell?
I got the hot box raccoon. Whole other story.
Excuse me?
They came up to me at the fair, and they're like, hey, I got a mission for you. This raccoon.
Side quest.
That's what it says, side quest. The raccoon was getting out of hand, so and they know that I have my medical card, and they needed the raccoon to sit down. So
the raccoon was very calm.
They asked me to go hotbox the raccoon, so I got to sit in the car with the raccoon and hang
out. Did the raccoon go?
Now Nico was really good. She was just like,
hey. And then we got to meet a ferret. Somebody brought their pet ferret, so that was fun.
And then there was the
And of course, there's always river.
River, yes.
Right.
Yes,
river.
Yeah.
So river is my yellow crowned Amazon. She's here with us.
She's very sweet.
She's very sweet.
Yeah.
How big?
Oh, she's
not intimidating at all.
Not intimidating at all. She's 340 grams, which about
what does that weigh?
No, no tail. That's probably she's probably eight inches,
very sweet.
9 inches.
She's very sweet.
You know, so yeah,
definitely.
She's my wife's emotional support animal.
Yeah. So those events are coming on. And honestly, Enchanted would be worth a trip to Arkansas to go to. Because there's, 40 vendors last time? There were 40 vendors, readers, classes, and the vendors are top-notch. So, yeah, so that's all going on.
And then there's the one in September in Fort Smith.
Oh.
That folks said that's great.
Oh, Soul Fair. Oh, I didn't know it was in Fort Smith. Okay, so yeah, we've got quite a bit going on over our way, and we're trying to build the community up. Vicky's really trying to make the Frosted Moon Festival and then Pagan and Pride Festival.
So I talked about that. Yeah, sure.
Want to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's got time.
There's tickets available online right now.
Yeah, we have one more.
Enchanted. Enchanted is for
18th and 19th.
2-day event. The vendors will be from all over. They'll come out of Dallas,
City.
Kansas City, Arkansas,
Oklahoma.
All kinds of cool things. Oral photography, there's tarot, there's palmistry, there's tea leaf reading.
Right.
Reiki healers, just a ton of magical people.
And then the vendors are pretty amazing. So they've got, you guys will be there, Susan Stones will be there.
And Chelsea Snyder is the one that
organizes
the whole event. I think tickets are $5 right now. But
right now, the early birds are $5, and then I think they go up to $10 or $15 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great event. I mean, for Arkansas.
It'll be the fourth time we've done it.
Tell them about why you started it, kind of why y'all started it.
Oh, well.
I don't know why I started it.
Well, it was in Clarksville, and that's not a
well, yeah, Clarksville's a tiny little town, and I've been for a living and sell magic wands, so I was like, I want to bring this stuff in hometown. So I, local U.S. Chelsea. Done several other medicine organized originally from North Carolina. So anyways.
Yeah, and it turned out really good. The first one was huge, yeah.
Brought them in and did the stuff and
kind of goes with what John Beckett was talking about we need to
show people.
Turn pro.
turn pro. Yeah, you gotta show up where you're at.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is I needed to be You need to be seen, especially in some of these small towns where there's no pagan support, there's no support. So go out and
Here's the thing. Arkansas is not the first place you think of when you hear witch.
Well,
it's
and that's why
not.
Like Vicky's events are so important because at the Memorial Day event, there were a huge number of young seeking people. They were looking for a place where they felt safe to pursue these ideas and these alternate spiritualities. And I showed up to teach my class the very first day in my trans pride free mom hugs shirt because it was a Pagan and Pride event and I wanted to wear that shirt. So I had several young witches come up to me and hug me saying, thank you for wearing that shirt. I'm trans. I know that you're safe because so many people of your generation are not safe for me to be around.
No kidding.
And so I had several of them, and I talked with them over the course of the weekend. I was texting with you, telling you about it. I was talking with them over the course of the weekend, and the last day, a couple of them wrote me these very sweet letters about thank you, and we feel like so accepted here. And apparently, Sunday morning, I was getting ready to
teach my class, and I got a text from a former student who had come out to me as a trans woman, and they said, we contacted you because we know you're safe. You're the only the second person we've told, and I was very touched by that. Well, then I get a message from Elizabeth going, you are the talk of, you are like the goddess incarnate to the young trans witches Discord server of Central Arkansas. And I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
Because the people that had come to my talk were saying, oh, this person was there, and they were great, and blah, blah, blah. And Elizabeth was like, well, yes, I had her for class when I was a physics major. She's pretty awesome. But, I mean, I saw so many people that weekend looking for their people and finding them. And so that's what I love about having these events, like at Vicky's, where it's very welcoming, it's very personable. Enchanted was that way. There were so many people that came to Enchanted that were looking for community and found it.
Yeah.
Even my therapist was recommending people go to Enchanted.
Tattoo artist was there.
Yeah, there was a tattoo artist at Vicky's and at Pagan and Pride. And so I think it's really important that we support these. I mean, I know it's hard for some of the vendors because the vending is kind of hit or miss at these smaller events.
Yeah, yeah.
But show up and support these things, grow them, I think is super important. So I told Vicky I will always teach classes.
That's so fantastic.
Grassroots.
Yeah. And you're starting to see it build, you know, because now I think the one in Labor Day will be even bigger than the one Memorial Day, which was pretty good, and the vendors did well at it. The vendors made bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Conway is the right city for this event.
Yeah.
Because we're right next to Little Rock.
There's three colleges.
There's three colleges right there.
Very liberal town.
Yeah.
And it's right on Interstate 40.
Yeah.
As liberal is also something people don't think about when they hear Arkansas. And I want people to understand, not just start because you have a certain view of what that location
is. Well, I mean, the entire South, and here we are at Mystic South, surrounded by 600 of our black-minded friends.
And folks,
folks
have said to me, because we're originally from New York, and it's like, why in the world would you move South? And I have met more witches living in North Carolina than I ever did in the middle of New York.
Yeah.
We hide in plain sight.
So I live in a small town, Arkansas. I'm about as far south in Arkansas yet without it being Louisiana.
There you go.
And we do some of our local events. And you'd be surprised at the number of closeted pagans that they'll come out to you if they know that they're safe.
Yes.
They don't want to be, they don't want to be part of a coven. They don't want to be part of any group. They're happy with being closeted.
But if you're safe, they'll come out.
They want to be known. They want, and so if they're safe, they're going to have you. And they'll buy things at a local festival, Beha Festival,
or the Peach Festival,
and they'll tell my wife, this is
thank you for being here.
How
many times I've heard that?
Yeah,
thank you for being here.
Or the Sonic Car Hop the other day. I was at Sonic, and she comes out, and she's got on a Triple Moon necklace.
Yeah,
and I said, I love your necklace, and her eyes got huge, and she. What that is, and I pulled mine out and went, yes, I do.
Hello.
And she's like, oh, you're one of the cool people. And I'm like, yeah. Because, I mean, y'all can tell you, my Sonic Car Hops don't know me. I mean, I don't even have to, pull into a thing.
Yeah.
They, I come in and they're like, oh, there's Deborah, here's your food. And sometimes I just slow down and they throw it at me, as I'm coming through. But it felt really good for her to see that. And that's happened several times.
People who are older in the community, it's so important that we give younger people a safe place to be. Because, life is hard enough, but then you have to deal with finding out who you are, which I don't know about y'all, but I'm still trying to figure that shit out. And I'm 62, so it's kind of like it's a never-ending process.
Well,
but when you have neurodivergency or you're not cis whatever, there's just so much more that goes into your thought process of what safety might hopefully look like. And I think it's so important for us to give folks a place to be safe.
Well, and it's hard in the South, too, because you're often going against what your family has ingrained in you, and that's a big risk for a lot of these young people, you know. And so to be able to find an adult who you're safe around is a big deal.
Wendy?
Yes.
Hi, come on in.
You can have a chair. Oh, where you can find me, I'm on YouTube as Diary of a Physicist Farm Gal. I'm on Instagram as Doc Fire Woman. And the book will be out in the spring. Yay!
Yay! Stepping up as our last guest for the day. I'm so excited, and we're meeting for the first time. This is Wendy. Is it Mata or Mata?
Mata.
Mata Hausman. I'm so happy to meet you. I got to hug her first. Sorry. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. So Wendy and I are meeting for the first time. Is this your first Mystic South?
Yes.
And it's Wendy's first Mystic South. Wendy, I'll introduce you to my entire family later. Yeah, everybody's here. But tell folks who you are for those of us who don't know. You're gorgeous. She's gorgeous, by the way, I just have to say.
Thank you.
Hi.
Where's the microphone?
Right there.
Okay. That's microphone.
Hi, microphone.
So I'm Wendy Mata. I'm a Bruja Curandera by lineage and Spirit Shaman. So I am a fifth generation Bruja. And I will be speaking on Saturday at 11 a.m. about psychic self-defense, which is how to do protective and defensive.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, I'm from a small town in Mexico where there is a lot of narcos and mafia and really heavy shit. So I had to learn to protect my.
Wow, you've got a fucking story. Wow, tell me about. Okay, now listen, you opened that door, so we're going.
Bring it up.
I'm saying. Okay, so tell me about, because you're. You look very young, so I'm not going to presume you're anywhere near my age, but I do want to know what it was like growing up in Mexico. Did you leave there throughout your entire childhood? I mean, when did you leave?
So I left in between 2006 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I moved for work to Finland. The reason why I moved to
what
Finland,
a change!
Right. I went from this tiny little town in Mexico to Finland.
Yeah.
The reason why I did that is because one of my family members, trigger warning, was kidnapped and killed by the mafia, and I felt really unsafe. Talking about psychic self-defense, one of the reasons why I really work in protection, a lot of stuff that happened to me. So I was in my 20s. I've been out of the United States, of Mexico since I was 26. I moved to Finland. From Finland, I went to the States, then I spent Canada, then Brazil, then Singapore, Malaysia.
Wow, you've been everywhere. That's amazing.
Yeah, I've been traveling. Love traveling.
That's great. Do you travel with an entourage, or is it basically you travel on your own?
So I traveled for business for 20 years. I was in cybersecurity. But now today I came here by myself, but I do travel the world.
Wonderful.
But growing up in Mexico, it was beautiful because I got to experience my culture, my family, or tradition. I come from a family of witches, shamans, brujas, so I grew up with magic. The difference, I think a lot of people have the bless that I had to grow up in magic, but other people doesn't have that.
For sure.
It's beautiful, but it's also a responsibility. You have to be paying attention to your actions, to your words, where you go, what you say, who do you meet with, what kind of exchanges you have. So it was really beautiful, Blueberry.
It has to be. Mm-hmm. See, witches here, like, my mother was a practicing witch before she became a Pentecostal preacher.
What?
It happened. I don't understand. Well, my mother has a whole thing about her identity being attached to her husband. When my father changed, she changed, everything changed, no mind of her own. So I wasn't raised with training because she had already stopped.
She was denying that part of her.
Yeah. Oh, boy, can you and I talk about some stuff. But, you know, it is a responsibility. And people hear that, folks who grow up with witchcraft, oh, they have it so easy. And no one talks about the vast, intense responsibility it is, especially if you're being taught as a young person, because your energy is still developing. And you're going through puberty, and you're going through relationships, and you're figuring out who you are as a human being. And then you add the elements of magic, the Christian culture, it's like, God just takes care of it. Or you hope that God just takes care of it. You know what I'm saying, though? You're so divorced from actually being connected to your own divinity. So to know that you were taught responsibility with this, and you had to put thought into everything you said, everything you did. It's such a great lesson, much needed in this country, just sorry, and saying so. But it's true. Americans tend to be kind of all over the place, right?
I think. But it's all over the world, though.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in a lot of places.
You've been everywhere. You can
tell
me things.
I've been in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that there is a very big difference between the people that have their cultural identity recognized and their
identity. Yeah.
Because if you are connected to your roots, your culture, your ancestors, you have more of a stable background in a way. And if you're just trying to find yourself and trying to figure out who are your ancestors, then you don't have that. And I think the other difference, too, is when you are so connected to your ancestors, you never feel alone. Like every step you take, you feel them behind you.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that yet, if you're not honoring your ancestors, if you're not connected to your culture, to your roots, then you feel alone. And it's this place where, what am I doing? Is somebody listening over there? Who's going to support me?
Absolutely.
Like, it's navigation, right? With your eyes closed. So
yeah.
I think, we can be all over the place in the United States, but there's also that everywhere else, and there's also stability everywhere else. It's just a matter of, like, finding.
That's hard sometimes because you don't trust yourself, much less anybody else.
Right.
When you're first finding your
way,
it's so hard. I mean, you talk about ancestors, and some of us who are not really connected to the people who came before us, like my father gave me no connection to his family. I didn't know anything about his mother. I didn't know anything about his father. Certainly nobody before that. So it's hard for someone like me with such limited knowledge of my ancestors to feel a connection to, like, anybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you suggest for someone who has that as an issue?
I think for the people that don't know who their ancestors are or that are not connected to their ancestors,
yeah,
they first have to spend some time going inside and to recognize what feels right. Sometimes your ancestors are your own culture, but sometimes your ancestors are other cultures approached respectfully, of course, that may have been from past life. And if that feels easy in a way, that may be a good way of approaching it. The other thing, too, is that if you know what's your culture, but you don't know anybody from your family, maybe you can start with the deities of that culture.
Oh.
Or the belief systems of that culture, or even deeper, you can just go in, I call it the place of surrender. Like, I do this exercise where I just basically surrender to spirit, and I'm in my knees, and I put my forehead on the floor, and I say, I surrender. And you go into this place of surrender, and you ask your ancestors, I'm ready, to have this connection. I may not know who you are. I may not know your name. I may not know if you're my dad's family or my dad's side or my mother's side, but I'm ready for a connection. So if you are an ancestor that is willing, ready, able, coming from a place of power, coming from a place of support, coming from a place of love. And I've seen, like I tell this to my students, and they tend to have really deep connection with those ancestors because you approach a place of surrender. And I think one of the differences on a lot of cultures, I would say that from the Mexican culture, we have this reference to our ancestors. Honor or lineage, honor or parents, grandparents.
Absolutely.
Even if they were cheating, which can be very toxic, right?
But, I understand that. But when you start from a place of appreciation for your family, And I think sometimes, because we talk so much about the toxicity of what we've been raised in, you know, there was a lot of abuse in my family, so it's hard for me to want to revere certain parts of my family. Mm-hmm. But you're so right. We don't start at a place of respect. Just calling my people out, I'm just saying. we're not the most respectful, because it's like, well, if you hurt me, why should I respect you,
right,
or anything that has anything to do with you? So I'm taking a lesson here and feeling like I need to rethink my approach to some stuff, because I've rejected. My father is the only person I really know from that side, but that doesn't mean that everyone on that side is toxic, and I forget that. It's like anything that reminds you of the bad person, you just want to eliminate. But you're saying you can just approach it from a, I'm surrendering and I'm open to who wants to come in and part of me or help me. And I think that's something that we often forget we can do. Because I think when we talk about ancestor veneration, we're thinking necessarily that it has to be somebody we already know about. So you just taught me a great lesson about being open to other possibilities, that it may not be somebody I know about. It could be a relative that I've never heard of, which is most of them on that side. So maybe I need to change my approach.
I think the other thing, too, is that sometimes we forget that as souls, we transcend, and we are not the same person that we were in Earth. And at least in my belief, Sam, we believe that you die and then you go into the recollection of your ideas and thoughts and experiences and kind of pass your humanity. But then after you pass that humanity, then you become sacred. And you go into this point of connecting first to the collective consciousness and then connecting to the universe.
Yeah.
So some of our ancestors may already have passed that process of being soul in a human body and then just a soul and then collective and then universal. So we may want to be putting in ourselves when we are in that space of surrenderness. Is that a word? I mean,
it doesn't matter. Americans make shit up all the time. All
right, well, let's make it up.
For real.
Yeah, so but you get into that place where you're surrendering and then you open the door to the ones that already went through that process.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to also call the ones that are still fighting their own human identity. We know that some souls are still stuck here, right? So we may want to call the ones that already have transcended.
Yeah.
And we're just in this space of the ones that are ready to support me and our connection and that I can honor. So the other thing that I see, too, when people are doing the ancestral veneration, that is all a give me, I take, help me.
Yeah, man, it's like an exchange system. There is no universal bank that you go to someone and say, do for me because
right,
I'm asking.
Right.
For real.
And the veneration of our ancestors is really, what can I do to also heal you? I know that by healing myself and growing myself and growing my vibration, I can support you, but what else can I do?
Yeah.
And what I have encountered when I have those conversations with ancestors is that they are very specific. Okay, go here on the timeline, in this place, in this time, this is my name, this is what happened, we'll do something about it. And because of the knowledge that was passed to me, I can go into that space on the timeline with their permission and fix a little bit of a crack or a glitch or whatever being on that timeline. So we also help. It's not just them coming to help us, but we
right.
also have this responsibility of recognizing, okay, part of my lineage, you're part of my magic, you're part of my power. How can I help you? What can I do to heal our entire past?
Okay, I've got to ask a question.
Yes.
When you have a toxic person,
sorry, I have to take this off because I can't see you.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, whatever you want, water, what can I get for you?
Sorry.
Oh,
I had a busy line on my monitor. It was a hard to see.
Oh, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
So when you have somebody who's been specifically toxic, and I think a lot of us have had someone toxic in our family, is it possible for us to fix that relationship now that they are an ancestor? And is anyone who's ever passed an ancestor in your family?
So in my school of thought, in my culture, in my belief system, we're all different, right? Because we're all different, right? And there's
right.
beauty on that difference. But the way that I was raised, the way that I was taught is everybody is your ancestor, but they may not be the ancestor. Okay. You may want to have the one that's safe for you. But there is also the next level, which is not the ancestors by blood, but the ancestors by law. The ones that were teachers, the ones that were or mentors, the ones that were there for a family somehow, but we didn't necessarily have a DNA connection, but those ancestors too. And then there's the other level, which is the cultural level, which ones are the deities of the culture, which ones are the connections to the so they are all ancestors, but they are all not necessarily ancestors that we work with. But we can also work, all know here, we can also work with our own other selves, right? So if there is nobody showing up, like you're there in that place of surrender, and for some reason nobody comes, I've never seen that, but maybe it will happen one day, right? You're not alone. You also have the other versions of yourself to show up and help you. Have that variation of you, or that identity of you, or that upgrade of you that will come and still support you.
I hope it's an upgrade.
We will hope, right?
Just so.
And I work with something that I call my spiritual board of directors. I have a group of not necessarily DCs, but I work with Nikola Tesla. I work with Steve Jobs. I work with Albert Einstein.
Shut up.
I work with this spirit that I have, especially when I was in tech. I was in technology. A lot of the problem solving that I did was working with Nikola Tesla. He's actually great. He's a great guy. I've been connected to him. He's amazing.
Wow.
And so I have this in my picture, being there in Beijing, in China, trying to figure out a problem that nobody can solve. They flew me from Finland to China to try to solve it. And there I am in the production line, this huge manufacturing company in Beijing. And just being there, I have been there for 5 minutes, being okay, how are we going to solve this? Because I just got here from Finland to China and I'm hungry and I want to go eat something. And he appeared to me and he told me the problem is right there. Talk to that person. And this person said, tell him. So we also have this cord of helpers that when we establish a relationship, they will come and give you the answer. That's infinitive tapping of possibilities. The answers are there. You have a problem, ask for help. But you have to be in the place of surrender. You cannot be in front of Nikola Tesla or Steve Jobs.
Right.
He's helpful sometimes. And sometimes, if you catch him in a good spot.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be there all cocky, thinking, I'm alive and you're dead and I'm more than you. And they're not going to help you shift.
You have to be
in the space of, here I am. Exactly. Please help me. I don't know what to do here. Please help me. And usually they're very helpful.
Well, so let me ask you this. When you go to a Steve Jobs or a Tesla, is there an exchange? Do you have to make an offering of some sort?
I ask them if they want something, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. There is a lot. So one thing that I have found in my own travel, my communication with those beings, is that a lot of them are actual helpers. A lot of them, especially Nikola Tesla, going back to him, they just want to help. They already transcended. Here, living their human experience, they passed to the next level. They left the humanity. They went to the collective. They just became teachers of wisdom. So a lot of them are just helpers. I've asked, what can I do for you? I just call me when I can help you. A lot of them. In my board directors, I also have Frida Kahlo.
I'm Mexican.
Her. Yeah, she's amazing.
Oh,
so I'm Mexican. So for me, I have Maria Sabina. She's also great. There's all these beings that are just there to help. Which takes me back to that point of, are we all over the place? Maybe, but maybe we are all over the place because we forget that we have that we have this magnificence, sacredness of protection.
Wow. I want to talk to you for 6 hours. No, I do. Again, when I hear ancestor, I don't think about anything outside of, this is my limited family, and that's who I get to ask from, and oh, my God, the world just gets a lot smaller. But, I've got so much about now. Yeah, you're going to have to, we have 11 minutes left. You're going to definitely please come back on by yourself. Yeah, okay, good. if I didn't run you off completely.
No, I love going deep as you want to go. That's my favorite spot. Yeah.
But, I wonder if there's a way to fix. And when people pass, they leave so much done and unsaid. Mm-hmm. And is this a situation where I may have to, go to someone who hurt me and say, let's put this behind us. What can I do to get you unstuck if you're stuck? Or how do we fix this relationship? Is that possible?
It could be possible, but also as humans, we still have the ability to set boundaries. And we don't necessarily have to fix relationships that we don't want. Maybe in the future when they present, go through the process of healing their own shit,
yeah,
they may be ready to come back and help. Like, I can tell you for a fact, I have a 10 times better relationship with Dad now that he's... But when he was... there you go.
And my mother.
Right? He's now amazing, but when he was alive, I mean, I love my dad, but his way of loving me was not what I needed. It just wasn't. And now that he's dead, it took a while. He died, and he passed a few years, and I was just like, hey, I miss you. When you're ready, come and talk to me. Now he doesn't shut up. Every single day, there in the kitchen, he loves to cook, telling me all the time, this is what you have to do, this is how you mix it. He gives me entire recipes, my cooking, so I cook the stuff that he never taught me when he was.
Wow.
But I don't think that we have the obligation to skip, because I think, but
I'm so glad you said that.
Beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yes.
Can we applaud? Can we applaud, please?
Obligation to forgive.
You have no obligation to forgive. And do you know how often I hear, you really should let that go.
No, that's
you
not
really
good.
Shouldn't
no.
be angry. You really no. need to, you know, every excuse from the people who are still alive, who also suffered because of him. And it's like, but you didn't suffer the way I suffered. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, everyone's like, oh, well, that's your parent. Why does that matter?
No, because I think that comes a person has the right to not hurt, that has the choice to not hurt you, and if they try to hurt you, you don't have to forgive them. That's my own personal thought. I think there's a lot of people that are different.
They are, but
I
need to hear this.
I personally think it's very toxic. And obligating somebody to be okay with abuse is more abuse.
Thank you. Oh, another round of applause. Oh, my God. I am so sick of hearing this bullshit from my family of, you have to let this go. I mean, we're talking about stuff that happened to me when I was an infant, through my teen years, till the moment I left my father's house. My father's been dead for 23 years, and I'm still fucking pissed. Thank you for not
right.
making me feel guilty.
No. I think
Thank
that's
you.
Right. And then if one day you're not pissed anymore and you don't want to be pissed, you can say, I'm ready to have the conversation, if you're ready. And then if he wants to come and have the conversation, you even have the right to ask for reparations. To these beings that already left, that offended you, that hurt you, you even have the right to ask for reparations and say, you're on the other side, I'm ready, I know, but you hurt me, what are we going to do about it?
Wow! Yeah. I have multiple people
yeah.
to talk to.
I
don't know. Holy shit, you just hit the door. Come in. You just kicked the door open.
No, I think we can choose.
Amen.
The third, we can choose how we manage that so we live our best possible life from a place of balance and peace for mm-hmm. ourselves. But that is very different than having a toxic tendency.
Everybody wants you to pretend that it didn't happen. And I think that comes from a place of guilt from people who
yeah.
know what happened.
It makes them uncomfortable.
I think because I have one relative who witnessed a whole bunch of things that happened to me who says to this day, I don't want to talk about it. And my now reaction is, why? Because you didn't do anything to stop it?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And when somebody doesn't do anything to stop it, then part of the and they own your reparations. That anybody else that
yeah.
way, yeah, it is. Silence is a way of violence. Violence, especially to. I have a daughter. I will do anything for my daughter, and I will never be silent. Like, oh my God, I will be talk about ancestors. I will get all the Apache blood that I have behind me. And somebody tried to hurt my daughter. So, like, I don't even want to think about what person I will be if somebody tries to do that. So, silence is not. Listen, my boo.
I think I'm going to cry. I'm telling you. Wow. Oh, my God. Wendy. Oh, my God. And I just met you. I'm sorry. Wow. That's powerful stuff. You've got to come back on. Do you want to come on tomorrow night's show too? Because
sure.
There's oh yeah.
Can you have me? Can you have me?
4:30 to 6:30. You heard I'm saying. Talk about your class because I have 4 minutes to go. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I mean, but
okay.
This was powerful. It's, people must come to Mr.
Right.
South
yes.
And listen to this class. Where is it? When is it? Please.
It's on Saturday at 11 a.m.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll find it. That's okay. What time? What time?
11 a.m.
on Saturday, and we are going to be in what room? Where am I?
Maplewood.
Hang on.
Maplewood.
The Maplewood room.
That's so funny. That was my dad's favorite movie. That's so funny. Important.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I'll be there, and I'll be talking a little bit about how to process with their permission, of course,
right.
To protect us, help us. I feel like we are here because we're here to make the world a better place, but we also need to have the same respect for energy from ourselves more than anything else. I'm going to talk about entities and spirits and all the stuff, but I think that the worst attacker is ourselves
mm-hmm.
and our own self-programming. So I'm going to
teach
a technique. I'm also going to teach a technique to expand or feel so that we can enhance our vibration. So even if we are in a place where there's entities, they will not attach to us because we're vibrating high, that they just, because we know that some, I call them soul suckers, are the ones that are going to just like go there and try to like absorb the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
And you are in a space that you're a really, really good space, like, I don't know, like dust on you. And move on.
Wow.
We have work to do, and I don't think that we have the time to be dealing with this lower energy, in my opinion.
You're not
so, so I'm going to be teaching something new that we're going to do expansions of ourselves. And then I'm going to teach a little bit of timeline healing because I think that sometimes the spiritual attacks that come to us, we have to go to that point in time to fix it. So even if we're doing something right now, whatever that is, psychic self-defense or candles or oils or whatever it is, these timeline may not be enough. We may actually have to go to that point in the past, some reparation, the energy of that space, from who we are right now, with the love that we can bring into that spot, heal that place, and then get back into the presence and have the from a place of protection. So I'll be teaching that. It's an hour and a half. It's packed with a lot of wisdom, but it is an honor to share it because culture is the magic of Mexico. Part of me feels that the world is ready to hear the magic of Mexico, so it is.
Please, more of this tomorrow. Absolutely. Wendy's going to come back on tomorrow's show at between 4:30 and 6:30. We will be in the Azalea Room. Wendy, how do people find you before we end for the day?
You can email me at support@bruja.us. That will be bruja.us. Bruja means witch.
Yes.
my website is bruja.us. TikTok is Bruja Power Botanica. Instagram is Bruja Power, I believe. And then we have also.
This has been incredible. Okay, guys, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 4:30, from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Azalea Room. Get over to Mystic South. We're at Crown Plaza, Atlanta Perimeter at Ravinia, 4355 Ashford Dunwoody, July 14th through 16th. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
90 seconds.